Well, please turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and just reading verses 13 and 14. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Well, we're looking this evening at these two verses, and my title for this evening's message is Tomorrow Uncertain. The uncertainty of tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us. Seems like a truism, something that doesn't really need to be said, but sometimes we need to be reminded for it about this, because we often forget it. Maybe at the beginning of this new year, the threshold of a new year is dawning, and you've come up with plans, you've come up with your resolutions or your schemes, things that you have in mind that you want to achieve and accomplish in this coming year. Well, it's good to have plans. Nothing wrong in having plans, but maybe God is not in your plans. Maybe there's no thought about spiritual life. Maybe there's no thought about your relationship with God in the midst of those plans. Those plans, maybe, friends, are all about yourself and all about you and all about your aspirations for 2022, what you want to achieve. Well, let me, like James is doing here, let me stop you in your tracks just for a little while. How do you know, friends? How do you know that you will live one day longer? How do you know you will be able to accomplish those plans that you have devised for yourself, those schemes, that career path that you want to follow, whatever it may be? It may not materialize because we just don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. This is what James is saying to his readers. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. He has in his mind the merchants, the businessmen of the day. And it was common practice for them to go with their products, with their wares, to leave their home city, and then to travel to one city. And in that city, they would sell the things that they brought, and with the money that they gained, they would purchase new products in that city, and then they would go to another city and do the same thing. The process would go on and on until they felt that they gained enough, and then they would return home with their profit. And that's the people who he is addressing here, these merchantmen, these businessmen. And James says to them, James nudges them, and he says, when he says, go to now, he's really saying, come on now, think about it. Think about these things. How can you be so certain? How can you use such proud and boastful language? You say, it's evil to speak like this because you just don't know what is going to happen tomorrow, and because your life is so frail. You're not as strong. You're a mutable person. You're a mortal person. Anything could happen, and your life could be taken away from you in a moment. Your bragging is not very good. Your bragging, he says to them, is foolish. Come on, think about it. You're not in control of events. You're not in control. You don't have the power to speak like this. But they were speaking very proudly. Things are outside your control, he's telling them. You have no guarantee that your plans will come to pass as you have set them out. And this is what James is urging them and us also to do, to think about a life, and to think especially because tomorrow is so uncertain, friends, then we must attend to the most important things in life. If we do not know when our life will be taken away from us, then what's the point of focusing on the things which are secondary. The most important thing in life is to get into a right relationship with God. That should be our priority in life. That's the thing we must focus on above all others. Well, let's take a closer look firstly at these merchants and look at their words that they are saying. Today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. First thing we could say about these merchants was they had a dream. They had a vision. This is their vision for life. This is their vision for success. This is the dream for their life. It doesn't say, but I tend to think maybe these were entrepreneurs. These were young men. Maybe entering onto their first business trip. Because if they've got any experience behind them, they will know life doesn't always pan out in the way that you want it to. Life, always, circumstances always change. Always something happens to put a spanner in our plans and in our works. And these ones, they had this dream that they were going to go into such and such a city and everything was going to work out as they planned. People were going to buy their products. They were going to sell. They were going to make profit. They would go to another city and they would come back rich people and wealthy people. This is what they were daydreaming about. They haven't left even the city, but this is what is in their hearts and in their minds. This is what they pictured themselves. Success. They never thought about failure. Only success and coming home rich. Perhaps, dear friends, you're a young person here today listening to me. And perhaps this is something similar to you. You're just starting out on adult life. Or you're in for a big surprise. Because adult life is so much different from youth life. Youth life really is somewhat protected. But adult life is so very different. But maybe you as well, as a young man, have got this vision in your mind. This is what a dream you have for yourself. And you've got this dream about you being successful in the future. And you've got it all mapped out before you, your career path. This is what I'm going to do by such and such a year. I'm going to be at the top of the ladder. And by such and such a year, I'll be earning so much money. And I will be able to retire at an early age. And I'll be able to get a home in the south of in the Mediterranean, in southern Spain. And I'll be able to retire there with my family and take it easy. Or maybe these things will thrill you and as you think about them. But friends, it's only a dream. It's only a vision. It's all really based around me, isn't it? Me, me, me. And it fills us with great delight when we think, but what about God? Is that what you were made for, friends? Is that what you were created for a life just living for things and for pleasures in this world? The Bible tells us we were made for God. We were made for a relationship with God. We were made to know Him. We will never be truly satisfied with things. God will not allow us to be satisfied because there is a gap, there is a space in our heart that only He can satisfy, that only He can fulfill. And we should be thinking, well, how can I fulfill that purpose? If I was made for God, then I must come to live for Him. And then another thing we could say about these merchants, that they were full of self-confidence. We will go into such and such a city. We will continue there a year. We will buy and sell. We will get gain. They were so sure of it. They depended upon themselves. They were depended on their own strength. And they didn't doubt that these things would happen. They were so sure that they would bring that they would be able to accomplish these things. They depended on no one else. They didn't look to others to help them, as it were, but they were sure they could overcome all the obstacles that they faced and bring about success and bring home the money. Well, they were cocksure. They were too overconfident, but that's just like us. We also are the same, friends. We also have too high an opinion of what we can do. We are so full of self-confidence before we come to God. I believe in myself. We always hear, I believe in myself. I don't need other people. I can do it. I'm strong. I'm capable. I can overcome any difficulty. I will be successful. I will achieve my goals in life. Whatever plans I've made, those aims to get to the top of the career ladder, well, I'll get there. The plan to have a happy family with many children, or however many children we want. The plan to retire at such and such an age. Well, I will achieve these things. In our overconfidence, we think we can, but there's no dependence on the Lord. There's no realization that our life is in His hands. And then the third thing we could say about these merchants' friends is that they were only thinking about worldly things. They were only thinking about gain in this world. They were only thinking about making money. That's all. But so many are of the same caliber, isn't it? So many people today, it's the same thing, are only thinking of this world. They never think about their souls. They never think about what happens after death. Or if they do, they brush it off. If somebody asks them, have you ever thought, oh, don't talk to me about death. Don't talk to me about life after death. I don't want to know about these things. Brush it off. Talk to them about the stock market. Talk to them about making money. They'll be all ears. They'll be listening to you. Talk to them about get rich quickly schemes. They'll listen to you. But talk to them about spiritual things and there's no concern. Well, is that me, friends? Is that me? I don't think about my soul. I don't think about my immortal, never dying soul. I'm only thinking about the mod cons I can fill my home with, or the luxury holidays I can have. Is that life? So, friends, we need to think about the Lord. Think about heaven. Think about hell, the eternal places where we will be either in heaven or in hell. These are more important than temporary things which pass away. And so James, he goes on and he puts two thoughts into these merchants' mind. The first thing he says to them is, you don't know about tomorrow. Tomorrow is unknown. It's uncertain. Verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Here were these men, businessmen, making all these plans, so sure about what was going to happen. So sure everything would pan out as planned. But they had no idea what would happen tomorrow. How could they be so sure, friends, that they would even leave their hometown? One of their family members may fall sick that night. And then they cannot even set off on their journey. Or on the way to meet, to that city, or they may meet with some freak weather condition and they cannot proceed any further. And all their goods maybe will be destroyed. And then they have to return back home. Or if they do reach the city, well, there's no guarantee that they will continue there for a year. Anything could happen. How could they be so sure that people would want their products? People may like the products in their city, but how could they be so sure if they went to one city and their products would be desired and bought by people? There was no guarantee of gain. The markets, as we know, well, they go up and they down, they fluctuate. There's no guarantee of making money. May well be they would make a loss. Maybe it will be that they went broke and came back home penniless. Circumstances are out of their control, out of their hands. If they did make money and they did make their way home, well, they may have been jumped on by robbers and thieves on the way who would steal all that they had, and all their hard work and all their efforts would have come to zero, to nothing. Well, friends, We don't know what will happen tomorrow. It's not just these people, even today, isn't it? When you think about things which are happening in our world, none of us expected things. You think of those poor refugees who have that dream of coming to this country and living in this country, and they never make it. Many of them never make it across the English Channel, but they had that dream. But the freak weather conditions crossing that channel, well, their lives are taken. We think about those people living in America. One day they're in a nice, beautiful home, enjoying their home, resting in their homes. The next day, a wildfire there in Denver, Colorado. You read about it, I'm sure. And their homes burnt up, burnt to ashes. And they look like very beautiful homes, very lovely homes. But gone in a moment. Never expected that to happen to my home. And it did. Oh, friends, so many things. Oh, we can mention, isn't it? What's on our lips almost every day? The virus. And we think of what life was like pre-COVID and what it's like today. What a change. Who expected such a change? Who could have anticipated such things? Pre-COVID, no one had any idea that this was going to happen. But now our world is turned upside down. Yesterday, pre-COVID, the economy was booming. Now it's struggling to make up. Massive losses. Yesterday, we could all have a holiday abroad easily, jump on a plane. Today, not so easy. Today, you stay at home as much as you can. You're told to be stuck at home. Yesterday, you're socializing freely with your friends, going out whenever you wanted. Today, you have to distance from people. Keep your meter 2 meters away. Wear your mask. Oh, friends, yesterday we were boasting. Today, where are we? What can we say? Our world has changed. And nobody, no one expected it. But God knew. God knew. And because He is outside of time. He's not like us, limited to time. The Almighty God, He can see the past, the present, and the future. It's all before Him. He can see everything in one view. And so He knows everything that is going to happen. That's why we should turn to Him. That's why we should depend on Him, friends, because He knows all things. And we can entrust our souls to Him. But then another thing that James puts into their minds, another thought to provoke these businessmen, these merchants, is the uncertainty of life. Again, verse 14. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Not only is tomorrow unknown, but life is uncertain. Life is frail, friends. We don't know about the future, and we are uncertain also about life. Life, our life, what is life? It's like a vapor, James says. A mist, a gas, a steam, or a smoke, or cloud, you could say. Just something as flimsy as that. That's what our life is like. Your life and my life is like a vapor. A vapor, very brief, very short, very temporary thing. You only see it for a brief moment of time. 1 minute, you see it. The next minute, it's gone. You see the mist outside early in the morning. An hour later, you look out the window again. It's gone. It's no longer to be seen. And our life is like that. 1 minute, it's here. And the next minute, it's gone. It may seem like a long time, especially if you've lived to a good old age. If you're in your 80s or your 90s or more, or you may say you've lived a long life, but even that's a very short life. When you compare it to eternity, it's immeasurable, isn't it? Imagine if, think of it perhaps in this way, 1 minute, What is 1 minute of a life? 1 minute compared to all the minutes. How many minutes are there in a whole year? In a whole year, there are over 525,000 minutes. But if 1 minute is so small a figure, but if our life is like just 1 minute, but it's so small, it's so tiny, it's come and it's gone before you know it. It's so frail, friends. Even if you live for a long time and you want to extend your life, you can't do it. You can't extend your life any further than what is allotted to you. It's not like a leasehold. The leasehold on your property runs down to 60 or 70 years. Well, you can top it up. You can pay some extra money and top it back up. Get an extra lease of life, as it were, to 99 years. But you can't do that with your life. Once your time is up, and only God knows that time, then we must go, we must depart. There is no guarantee, even, friends, is there, that we will even reach old age. There's no guarantee that we will be alive at the end of this year. Who knows? This may be our last year that we are allotted in this life. Brief and temporary, like a vapor. Then also we could say a vapor or a cloud. Well, it's very an insignificant thing, isn't it? There's nothing special about a cloud. And you look up at the clouds, well, to me, they all look the same. And I know that there are different clouds, types of clouds, and names for the clouds, but they're pretty much similar. There's not much difference. Just like us, very insignificant thing. There's nothing exceptional about us. Our life is just ordinary. There's nothing special about us, nothing really to distinguish us from others. The vast majority of us, well, we do just follow the ordinary course of life. We live and eat and have our jobs, and then we die. Sometimes at sunset, during the summertime, at sunset, yeah, maybe you'll see some very beautiful clouds, very bright red and orange. Amazing colors you'll see. Of course, the colors are obtained from the sun. But again, very briefly, you'll see those brightly colored clouds. Very soon also, they are gone. And it's the same also with people. Some people may rise for a short time. They may rise and shine in this world. They are noticed. But very soon, those people who were once famous are soon forgotten. Forgotten. Many people were famous in the 19th century, but we only remember a few of them. Most of them, vast majority of them, are all forgotten. And that's life, friends. Life is uncertain. Life without God is insignificant. But here, let me call you to think about the Lord. All these things call us to think about true life and the meaning of life and the purpose of life. What is the purpose of our life? But to know the Lord and to live for Him. Not to live for earthly things, but to have a right relationship with the Lord. Dear friends, I say these things tonight to prompt you, to make you realize and help you to see, if you haven't done so already, there's more to life than just the temporal things of our existence. God calls us to a higher life. Christ came to give us spiritual life. He said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, that He may give it to you tonight. Oh, that you may see that life that He offers to you. You can have something better than just this plain, ordinary, everyday life. To know the Lord, to walk with Him, to know Him as a personal God, to know Him as your friend, to know Him as the one who leads you and guides you, to know Him as your help and your deliverer in life, to know Him as your leader, and the one who will bless you
the one who will love you with an unchangeable love. This is the life that He offers. But if we desire these things, we must first, friends, come to Him as a Savior. The very first thing I must do, if I see, Lord, this is the kind of life I would want to have. Grant to me this higher life. Deliver me from this earthly life. And I must first come to Him, asking for His forgiveness. I must first come to Him humbly and cry out unto Him, Lord, I've sinned against Thee. I've been a rebel against Thee. I fought against Thee. I rejected Thee. I've ruined my life by sin. But I've offended Thee by my sins. But Thou art merciful. Thou art a gracious and forgiving God. And Thou hast said in Thy word that Thou wilt forgive those who ask for forgiveness. Those who trust in Christ, Thou wilt forgive and give new life. Lord, forgive me. For Jesus' sake, I put my trust in Jesus and in what He did. Look to the cross, friends. Look to the cross where Christ died in our place. He died in the place of all who will trust in Him. And the guilt of our sins was placed upon Him so that we may be pardoned and forgiven all our sins and have this new life given to us. It's a wonderful life. If you haven't tasted it, you don't know about it. But this is the kind of life, friends, that Christ gives to all who will turn to Him. Oh, friends, my time is almost up. Let me close by telling you some things the Bible does tell us about the future. Some things which are certain, some things which are definite, which will definitely happen. Well, we all know we will die. That's one thing. Also, the Bible says that one day this whole world will come to an end. This world as we know it will come to an end. And all of us will be ushered before God. All of us will be called before Him on the day of judgment. That's sure to happen. None of us can avoid it. None of us can absent ourselves from it or hide from it. Try as we may, we will all be brought before God, before the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, to give an account of ourselves and how we have lived our lives. And depending on how we have lived this life, will depend our eternal state. If we have received Christ, we will be welcomed into heaven. If we have Him as our Savior, if we've taken Him into our hearts, then He will receive us into His heavenly home. And He will take us into that holy and that happy place forever, where you will be in lockdown with Him forever. There are no entry points. All other entry points will be closed. There's no other way for people then to get into heaven. But you will be there with Him forever and ever, safe and secure. But if you've rejected Christ, if you turned away and spurned this gospel message, friends, and spurned the Savior, then sadly, you will be sent into hell. And there is no exit point in hell. There will be, you will be forever without any chance of mercy again. You see how important our life is in this world? You see how important, friends, it is how we use our time while we are here to get right with God. Don't let anything else distract you. Come to the Savior. He is willing to hear you. He's willing to save you. He's willing to bless you. He makes no difference where you've come from, what background you've come from. You pray to Him sincerely and He will hear your cry. Oh, let's pray together. Oh Lord, our gracious God, again we thank Thee and bless Thee for the opportunity to hear again Thy call to us to come to the Savior, to make no delay. Oh, help us, we pray. Come and draw us by Thy Spirit to Him, Grant that we may find our all in Him. Come and awaken us to life. May we run and find our refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ, and forgiveness for all our sins, and that spiritual life that you have promised to all who will trust in Thee, and then that home and that place in heaven assured for us, a certainty for all who will trust in Thee. O Lord, we thank Thee for these precious promises. We trust in Thee, and we thank Thee for Thy blessing. Hear our prayer. We pray in our Saviour's name. Amen. We sing our final hymn, 373, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, 373.